All right. If you have your Bibles with you, let's go ahead and open again to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. It says here in Hebrews 11, verses 11 through 12, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the privilege that we've had to be able to study these different characters, these real people, Lord, whom you work through in a life of faith. Lord, that relationship of unwavering and immovable trust in you as you, Lord, worked in their lives. Lord, in many of these cases, Lord, this was something that they grew into as they grew in their relationship, Lord, with you. And pray that tonight, that as we look at Sarah, the first woman in this list, that, Lord, again, you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, of how we can move, Lord, from doubt to faith. So, Lord, these things we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as Pastor said, we've been going through this this passage in Hebrews chapter 11. And if you were with us at the very beginning, again, Pastor talked about this being like a hallway of portraits of faith. And we've gone through some of these different people that we've looked at so far, looking at Enoch, looking at Abel, Cain and Abel, the two contrasts in faith, looking at Abraham. And so now tonight, we come to, again, the first woman in the list, Sarah. So in approaching this, I thought, well, you know, I should ask a woman a little bit about this. So not that I did it as much as I really would have liked to, but Teresa and I discussed it a little bit, you know, from a woman's perspective, again about this whole issue of faith. And I think what we'll find here as we look from Sarah is that God can move us. God can move you from doubt to belief. God can move you from doubt to belief. So the first thing, and have a limited amount of time here, and the first thing I want us to look at, just three different things, is I want to go back to something that we touched on when we looked at Noah. If you remember, when we looked at Noah, here was a man who was called upon to do something, you know, extraordinary. All these people were called upon to do something extraordinary. But for Noah, again, it was, you know, something very visual. He was going to be building this humongous ark, all these animals coming. And as we talked about that, and as you, if you know your New Testament, it says that he was a preacher of righteousness. Okay? There were opportunities based on what God was having him to do that he would be able to talk to people about God, to talk to people about the gospel, to talk to people about deliverance from the judgment that was to come. But we said in order to do that, in order for someone to, you know, change everything that they're doing and embark upon this great effort, we said that faith, that kind of faith was something that only God can do. That kind of faith, and really faith in general, that's only something that God can do. It's not something that is generated in and up of ourselves. It's something that God does for us. So what I want to talk about, first of all, is number one, faith that moves from doubt to belief. And we're going to look at this as we look at Sarah tonight. Faith that moves from doubt to belief is something that only God can do. Again, it's going back to what we looked at with Noah, but giving us a bridge here to Sarah. If you look at verse 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And then this is the phrase I really want us to look at. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. So Sarah herself received and conceived because she had judged him faithful who had promised. Now, I always like to ask questions. I always like to get interaction. Looking back at what we know in the Old Testament about Sarah, If you just think through her story and think through, again, the interaction with Abraham and the promise that was given to him, what do we know? You know, if you just looked here at Sarah here in verse 11, again, wow. It says, you know, she judged him faithful who had promised. But think back to the Old Testament. What was Sarah's faith like in the Old Testament? When she was given this promise of, you know, from her husband, you know, there's going to be a land, there's going to be descendants, and so on and so forth. What was her faith like in the Old Testament? Maybe think through some of the things that she did or said or how she responded. What was Sarah's faith like in the Old Testament? Right there. She what? Okay. She laughed. Okay. She laughed. That's one of the things. We find that in Genesis chapter 18. Okay. Go back, if you will. Let's turn back there. Go back to Genesis 18. And let's begin at verse 9. In Genesis 18, here Abram, he has these three visitors that come to him. And then they begin, again, discussing with him what's going to happen. As you get to verse 9, it says that one of the visitors says, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. I think if you go back and you look at the Old Testament, you look at the promises given to Abraham, here is the first time you see this particularly directed at Sarah. All the other times, I think, and you know, if you find it different, let me know. But if you go back and look, you'll look at the promise that is given to Sarah, given to Abraham of a land and of descendants and kings will come out of thee. It's all directed at Abraham. But here you find in Genesis chapter 18, here for the first time, it's directed at Sarah. Sarah, you're going to have a son. You're part of this too. And it says that Sarah, you know, call it what you will, laughed under her breath, chuckled inside herself, whatever it is. It says that she, and God knew. God knew. So there, you know, again, part of Sarah's faith, doubting. Hey, what else did Sarah do? A little earlier in Genesis, what else did she do? How else did she show her faith? Or doubt, shall I say? Pastor Micah. Okay, all right. In Genesis chapter 16, it says that, okay, and think all along the way. We'll touch on this a little bit more. But think all along the way. Here, Abraham is given this promise. There's going to be a seed, there's going to be kings, there's going to be land, and, you know, husband and wives talk. Okay? Husband and wives talk. Hopefully you do. Okay? And Abraham's telling, hey, Sarah, guess what? This is going to happen to us. This is going to happen. Okay? And so all along the way, Sarah's hearing of this promise. Okay? But then Sarah, you know, taking stock of her own self, where she is in life, where Abraham is in life, saying, this ain't going to happen. Okay? And so, again, Pastor Micah points out, she decides, I'm going to, if this is going to happen, you know, we got to make some adjustments here. Okay? And so, again, she tries to help God out a little bit, saying, well, I'll give you my handmaiden. And she's trying to help God out with the fulfilling of the promise. So, again, as we look at Sarah, Do we see again that unwavering, that devoted, again, God, you said it, I believe it, that settles it? Do we see that from Sarah at this point? How many say yes? How many say no? There we go. Okay, good. You're all awake. All right. So again, Sarah, at this point in her relationship with God. Now, so think through that. You look at the Old Testament. Sarah looking to help God out. Sarah laughing within herself. Again, doubt. Questioning. But then you go back to the book of Hebrews, and it says, through faith, Sarah received power, conceived. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Something changed. Something changed. Now, the Bible doesn't give us when and where that happened. But something in Sarah's faith, something in Sarah's walk with God changed. Where at one point, God, you said this is going to happen. I believe this is going to happen. Do with me what you will. Something in her relationship, her faith relationship with God changed because she judged him faithful who had promised. And really, again, it follows in the footsteps of really of Abraham's faith. Okay? God makes the same promise to Abraham. And in the book of Romans, it talks about this. And in the book of Genesis, it talks about this. It says that he counted him faithful. It promised that he would do what he would perform with Abraham. So faith that moves from doubt to belief is something only that God can do. And again, going back to what we looked at with Noah, again, you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, again, and it refers to salvation, but I think it refers to faith in general. It can be applied to faith in general. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This is something that God does in us. Again, it's not something where we come to Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 11 gives us these portraits of faith, these encouragements, these exhortations to faith. But again, it's not something where we're going to look at that and go, all right, I'm going to have more faith tomorrow. Again, we can cooperate with God and say, God, this is what you said I can have. This is what I want. Lord, give me that faith. Give me that faith. Kind of like a little bit like the woman at the well. Christ comes and says, someone drinks of this water again, they're going to get thirsty. But the water that I can give you, someone can drink from that and they'll never get thirsty again. Give me this water that I won't thirst again. Lord, give me this faith. Give me this unwavering, confident trust in you that I've read about, that I've heard about, that I see in these people here. Give me that same unwavering, confident trust in you, just like you did Abraham, just like you did Sarah. One of the things I'm always impressed with, Teresa's youngest brother, he's a very talented guy. Very talented in the areas of things like woodworking, building, things like that. In his house, if I remember right, I think you used to be able to come into his house and you had to, I think maybe the stairway was like right in front of you or was around another part of the house. Well, at one point he decided, I'm going to change my stairs. I'm going to turn them around. So he did. Completely reversed the stairs around in his house, his basement, beautiful basement, carpeting, woodworking, and I think he took the wood and put like burn marks into it so it looks really nice, painted. I mean, just a beautiful basement. And I look at somebody like that and I go, I can't do that. That's something I can't do. Those of you who are talented with cars, you can look at a car, you can listen to a car, and you can hear what's wrong with it. That's something I can't do. So I take people who know what they're doing with cars. I said I could try it, I could do it, but it'll take me twice as long, and then when I'm done with it, I'm not sure if it's done right. Okay? There are certain people who are given, who have natural God-given ability and talent. Athletes, you know, sometimes at work or if I'm at, if you wad a piece of paper up, I'll take it and I'll look to shoot it in the trash can. And sometimes if I miss and if there's anybody around, I'll say, and that's why I'm not in the NBA. I haven't been given the ability, the skills, and the talent to do something like that. Some people have. Faith, again, is something that God does for you. It's not something we generate up and in ourselves. You've read stories about athletes. There's some athletes, they'll say, well, they made it to this particular position in high school or in college or in the NFL or in the NBA or the Major League Baseball because they worked really hard. And they knew they had to work really hard because they knew they didn't have the natural skill and ability and talent that other players had. So they had to work at it really hard, and they still work at it really hard. Faith does not work like that. We cooperate with God. But again, initially, it's something that God does for us. He changes our heart for that confident, unwavering trust in Him. Now, again, that's not to say that we just sit there and go, let go and let God. Okay? Again, we cooperate with God, what He's doing in our lives, and again, that obedience on a daily basis. But again, it's not just something that we generate up and inside ourselves. It's something that God does for us. Faith that moves from doubt to belief is something that God only can do. Now, here's a question. Quickly evaluate, if you will, where your relationship of faith with God is. Quickly evaluate. If you were to take a, you know, if I would have had a handout tonight and I put on there from 1 to 10 and have you, okay, now you put an X on there where your relationship of faith with God is. If you were to define faith as that confident, unwavering trust in God for all things in your life, where does that fall? Where would that fall on that line? Do you trust God for the small things? Do you depend upon God for the big things? Do you seek God's wisdom and counsel and help, and do you trust and depend upon Him for the things in your home, for the things in your personal life, for the things in your marriage, for the things with your kids, for the things with your job? Or is there that twinge of doubt there, that maybe that chuckle on the inside, or that, well, I've got to kind of help God out here a little bit on these things? Or, you know what, God, I'll trust you for the big things. I'll trust you for the, you know, I'll trust you for the big bills and for the health issues and things like that, but the little daily things, I think I can handle those on my own. Where is your relationship of unwavering and confident trust in God and faith in Him? God can move us from doubt to belief, but it's something that He does in us, in our hearts. Now, let's look at the second thing. If you're in Genesis again, look back at Hebrews 11. It said, first of all, faith that moves from doubt to belief is something only that God can do. Second thing, faith that moves from doubt to belief can have an impact on things at home. Faith that moves from doubt to belief can have an impact on things at home. Now, think about this strictly from a woman's perspective. Okay? Guys, this is hard for us. Okay? But think about this. Think about Abraham and Sarah, and think about, again, what God had promised, and think about and what it resulted in their home, and think about it from a woman's perspective. All right? Again, some more feedback. Think of from the time that God gave Abraham this promise, and He took him out of Ur of the Chaldees and began to move him to Canaan, and the promise that was given of descendants and of a land and of kings and of a nation that would come out of you. Okay? Think through. What were some of the roads that Abraham led Sarah down in fulfillment of this promise? Think about it from a woman's perspective. Let's do this. Go back to Genesis. Maybe I'll prime the pump here just a little bit. Genesis chapter 11, look at verse 31. Genesis chapter 11, let's begin at verse 31. It says, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, so there's where Abraham had settled with Sarah. Then if you go to chapter 12, it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Let's stop there. Okay? Now think about this again from a woman's perspective. God gives Abram this promise. Now what happens? Someone tell me. Right there. Okay, good. All right, he says they had to leave all their family, and then they basically went on this long camping trip. I'm sure camping got old pretty fast. Okay? All right? What else? Okay, now think about what he just said. They left family. What else did they leave behind? What else did Sarah leave behind? Left family? Come on, women, think about this. Think if your husband came to you tonight and said, I've been given a job offer in Billings, Montana. And you know what? And we're going to move. Chuck's going, yeah, I told my wife this stuff. All right? The military. All right? Think about that. Okay, well, women, think about that. Your husband comes home and he says, I've got a job offer in Billings, Montana. We leave in a month. You've been here you've been here in Downers Grove, Darien, Woodridge, Bolingbrook, where you've been here for 15 years. You're getting ready to go on a trip and you're leaving family. What else are you leaving behind? Jen? Okay? You're leaving family, you're leaving your community, you're leaving your support system. What else are you leaving behind?
A house.
A house that the woman has.
Okay,
house for a tent, sure. The camping trip thing, yeah. Okay? What else, ladies? What else are you leaving behind? Okay, right there. Everything you knew. You're leaving behind everything that's stable, everything that's constant, everything that's comfortable, everything you knew. Your family, your home, your friends, your support system. You're leaving it all behind to go on a who knows how long camping trip. Now, there's a goal in mind, okay? But you're leaving all that behind. And at this point, think of Abraham's walk of faith. Who had he just met? And think about it, again, think about it from a spiritual perspective. Who had he just met? Don't make it too hard. He had just met, who's it? He had just met God. He had just met Yahweh. And he comes home that night and sits down at the dinner table and says, Honey, I got to tell you something. Somebody spoke to me today. Somebody spoke to me out of heaven. His name is Yahweh. He told me about who he is and what he does. And you know what he told me to do? He says, we got to move. We got to move now. We're going to move and we're going to go to this place called Canaan. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get there. We got to pack everything up. We got to say goodbye to family. We got to say goodbye to friends. We're going to leave everything behind. And we're all going to do it because Yahweh told us to do this. Okay? Now, ladies, how would that make you feel? Think if you never heard of Yahweh before in your life. Okay, or go back to the other illustration. Honey, I just met this guy today. He gave me a job offer. His name is Tom Jones. And Tom Jones says, we got to move in a month, and I'm going to take this job in Billings, Montana. We got to pack everything up. We're going to leave. Okay, what would you be saying? What would you be thinking? Yeah. He needs to get his ears checked. Okay, what else? You're crazy. Come on, what else? Why are we moving? Who is this guy? Why should you believe him? What? Now? Right, soon? Think of how many questions, again, were going through her mind. All because you met this person who spoke to you called Yahweh. Okay? Now, so think through that. Now, if you look, so they begin on their camping trip. All right? If you go to Genesis, if you're in Genesis chapter 12, and you go on down to verse 10, it says, start at verse 9, it says, "And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a" what? Someone say it. What was it, everybody? Famine. "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." All right, ladies, let's think about it again. So Abram comes home and says, this God Yahweh told me that who He is and what He does and what He wants to do with our lives and my life. He wants us to move. We got to pack up. We got to move. So they begin to move. They head off with their tents and their items and things. And soon after they get on the trip, what do they encounter? They run out of what? Food. Okay? Now, wives, now what might you be saying? Wait, what, Ken? I told you so. Okay? What else? Okay? And possibly what else might have also been happening? Sarah might be getting a little, come on. Ladies, if your husband uprooted you and all of a sudden you ran out of food, frustrated, angry, homesick, okay? Why did you take us out here? I told you we shouldn't have left. And now we're here without any food. What are we going to do now? All right, now let's look at the third thing. So they go through, they've uprooted their home, they're traveling on through, they run out of food. Now you come to verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister," which was really true, after she was his half-sister, "that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." Okay, so you know the rest of the story. So Abram says, hey, to save my skin, and to make sure that I live through this experience, all right, tell them, don't tell them the whole story. Don't tell them the whole story. Just tell them that you are my sister. Don't tell them you're my wife. See? So at best, Sarah, you know, we're not really lying. We're just telling them, we're not telling them everything. Okay, it's called deception. And so ladies, now think through it. Think through it a little more. You just uprooted your entire life and you've left everything familiar and everything that you've ever known. You then come and you run out of food. And now what did your husband, all based upon the fact that this Yahweh told you to do all this. And now on top of that, now your husband's asking you to do what? Lie. Participate in deception. Really? Really? This is what you want me to do now? Okay? We've left everything we've known. Now we run out of food. And now you want me to participate in this sham on top of all this? Really? So think about again possibly what might have been going on in their home. Okay? Sarah's life had been radically changed. All on the basis of this promise of land and descendants and of a nation that would come out of Abraham, all on the basis of the God that this husband was leading her to worship. Again, I'm not saying Abraham's without fault here. Okay, Abraham's culpable too. And Abraham didn't do everything right that he should have. But I want you to think of the dynamic. Think of, again, Sarah's walk of faith here. She was pretty challenged. And again, the things that were going on, you know, she's trying to work through, again, this idea of doubt and belief and who is this God Yahweh? And then if you look at how she responded, if you look at Genesis chapter 16, where Pastor Micah brought up, then, all right, if this is what this God wants us to do, I can't really bear a child right now. I'm not in any physical condition to do that. So let me give you my handmaiden. So again, maybe it's somewhat of a step of growth for her, but again, still, twinged with a little bit of doubt. wanting to help God out. And then if you look a little bit later in Genesis chapter 18, what was brought out over here, Sarah laughed. She laughed. Really, can I? Is that going to happen to me? I'm too old to have a child. He's too old to have a child. I just don't see how this is going to happen. But again, don't forget Hebrews chapter 11. It says she received power and she conceived because she judged him faithful who had promised. Something changed in her heart. Something changed in her heart to move her from doubt to belief. Even with all these things that went on along the way, God worked in her heart and changed her from a heart of doubt to a heart of belief. Now, have you, let's think about it here in our own homes. Have you and your spouse ever not been on the same page with something in your home? Don't raise your hand. If you're honest, okay? If you're honest, yes, that's happened. It's happened more than once. Maybe you've had a discussion, okay, about those things. For example, I think I've only ever mentioned this to Teresa maybe once or twice. People have what are called, you know, they have their own private bucket lists. You know, I have a little app on my phone. It's a bucket list. I used to have some things I wrote on there for my bucket list, things I would like to do before I die. Somehow it got erased. I don't know how it got erased off there. I looked at it today to see if it was still there. But on my bucket list at one time, at least if not written down in my mental bucket list, I've always thought, you know what would be the coolest thing to do? I would love to, either in a vehicle or an RV or something, just get on it and head west for a week and just see what I could see. You know, stop at different things along the way, you know, or Mount Rushmore or things like that, you know. And then just turn around and come back. I think that would be cool. Just to go see what I could see. One time, in passing, I mentioned this to Teresa. That idea just really did not thrill her at all. The idea of a 2-week trip, you know, let's go out, let's come back. Okay. I remember another time on a higher level, spiritual level. I can't remember the missionary, and I cannot remember what country they were going to, but I remember the testimony he gave. And he said that when God began to call him to the mission field, and he sensed that that's what God wanted him to do, he first asked he discussed it with his wife. And again, he didn't say exactly what her attitude was in responding, but her first response was no. Okay. So he went back and he prayed about it. He began praying about it and began praying for his wife. Because again, he really sensed God wanted him and them to go to the mission field. So he said, I think it was a few months later, he came back and he brought it up to her again. And at this point, she said, maybe. So he went back and he prayed again. And he kept praying and praying for his wife. And he came back again a few months later, the third time. And he brought it up to her again. And this time she said, yeah, you know, I think that's what God wants us to do. And again, at the first point with it, you know, them, they're not on the same page. But again, eventually, God moved her heart from doubt to belief. I'm not talking about manipulation. We shouldn't manipulate people to try to get them to do anything. But the idea is that that's something only God can do. Moving someone, moving a spouse, moving anybody from doubt to belief. Question. Or thought. Quickly evaluate your family's spiritual temperature, journey, or atmosphere of life at home. Wives, as we think about it, are you on the same page with your husband as far as what he really believes God wants to have happen in your home? Husbands, are we the leaders worthy of following? Are we the leaders that clearly communicate what God wants in our home, according to His Word. Wives, let me tell you this. Don't ever underestimate the influence that you have in your husband's life. I think that's biblical. I mean, the Bible talks about unsafe husbands being won via the testimony of their wives. I told Teresa this before. I mentioned to her that, you know, on an earthly level, nobody has as much influence on me that she does. If I come and I bring my crazy idea, and in our home I'm the dreamer, I'm the you know, the visionary, you could say, and she's the one that says, uh-uh, you know, we can't do that. No, we don't have money for that. No. The kids are in school, and we can't. Here's why. Okay. But I tell Teresa, and again, wise for you. If I bring my crazy visionary idea to Teresa, and she immediately says no, and here's why, or you know, she brings something that I hadn't thought about, I immediately pause, and I give thought to that. And so, wives, again, think back with Sarah and Abram. Again, that position of influence, godly influence that she could have on her husband's life. Never underestimate how God can use you in your home and allow Him to move you from doubt to belief. From doubt to belief. All right, last thing, and we'll finish this up rather quickly. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll finish here. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at verse 12. We look first of all, again, faith that moves from doubt to belief is only something that God can do. Sarah received power. She conceived because she judged Him faithful who had promised. If you also look in, again, you look in verse 12, it says that she delivered a child when she was of past age because she judged Him faithful who He had promised. Again, she and Abraham had this child. Again, God did something in their home, moving Sarah from doubt to belief. But then you look at verse 12, and then you see the long-range impact of that moving from doubt to belief. It says, therefore, on the basis of what you see in verse 11, therefore sprang there even of one, and it's referring now to Abram, even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Faith that moves from doubt to belief, it can have an impact on things in the world. And again, that's for God to decide how far that faith will go. But it can have impact on the world around you. Faith that moves from doubt to belief, it can have an impact on the world around you. And what I mean by that, it can have impact. Always remember, folks, we never live by fate, destiny, or chance. Okay? Let me encourage you, take those out of your vocabulary. I can't make you do it, but take them. Okay? We never move by fate, destiny, or chance, or by the force, or whatever you want to call it. I would much rather prefer, my personal preference, that we say we don't have fate, destiny, or chance in our lives, but we have a sovereign God who brings situations, events, and people in our lives. Situations, events, and people. All of those governed by a sovereign God. Faith that moves from doubt to belief can have an impact as God uses you with that faith, with that confident and unwavering trust in Him. He can use you to have an impact on the situations, events, and people that are in your world, that are within your sphere of influence, however big that sphere may be. Whether it be your neighbor next door, whether it be further out into your community, or whether maybe it might be like those missionaries and moving you to a different part of the world. Or like Abraham and Sarah, they impacted all of humanity with the nation of Israel. With the nation of Israel. One of the things I've always thought in regard to my children was from Psalm 127, where it likens children as arrows. You know the illustration. You take an arrow, and what happens to the arrow? You pull it, you let it go, and it goes forth. And depending on how straight the arrow is, that's going to determine how it flies. One of the things that it's always been in my mind for my kids. I've always thought of that illustration of the arrow. And by God's grace, I'll do the best job that I can. My wife and I will do the best job that we can to make that arrow fly straight. And who knows how far God will take that arrow. Who knows where God will allow that arrow to strike. But the idea is, by God's grace, we'll do the best job we can. And hopefully you do the best job that you can. Help that arrow fly straight, and God will take it where He wants to and impact the world with that arrow. Now, really, as you look at the end of the day, were they really able to fully wrap their minds around what God was really going to do with them? Yeah, God told them, I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to make a nation out of you. Could they really fully comprehend that? I don't know. Maybe they really did through the eyes of faith. But I do know this, that God had given all these promises to Abram. But again, as you look at Sarah, really that world-shaking movement really took off when God worked in Sarah's heart and she moved from doubt to belief. Because it says again in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past her age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, even of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. And again, it's not just a message for ladies tonight, but it's for all of us. Look at your own life. Evaluate. Draw that line. 1 to 10, or wherever you want. Say, where am I in my walk of that confident, unwavering trust in God for everything in my life, for Him to do whatever He wants with my life? If that means moving me from where I am, where I'm comfortable, where things are familiar, and move me to a totally different place. Whether that means doing something in my life which at this point seems utterly impossible. Let God do that work in your heart that only He can do to move you from doubt to belief. Because you never know where He'll take that arrow and how far He'll use it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're thankful for the time to look into Your Word. And again, look at this other portrait of faith, of how You moved in Sarah's life. And Lord, again, at the beginning it was looking kind of rough, and she dealt with all these different things, all these changes in her life, and things that her husband didn't do all quite correctly. But yet, Lord, You did a work in her heart to move her from doubt to belief. And Lord, when You did that, Abraham and Sarah together, again, were used by You, again, to bring forth the nation of Israel, world-shaking, world-changing people that You particularly wanted to work through, and from which our Lord and Savior came, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, pray You'd work in our hearts the same way. Change our hearts where You need to. Help us to work in cooperation with You, with what You want to do in our hearts. And, Lord, as we have that confident and unwavering trust in You, allow You to take us and move us as You would see fit. So these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.